Have you ever watched like a sports event or the Olympics and immediately you felt bad about yourself? Like, I mean, you watch these athletes, you watch like LeBron James and you're like, man, why can't I do what he does? Or you watch someone like Usain Bolt run and you're like, man, that guy can run. Why can't I do that? Why can't I run the 800 meter in just over 2 minutes? You know, we watch these guys and we just are in awe of their athletic abilities. These guys are very athletic. Whenever I think of the Bible and Bible, I guess, characters, so to speak, who were athletic, I kind of think of Paul. You know, I don't know for sure if Paul was athletic or not, but that's just kind of how it seems, just by the way he writes. If you look at just his imagery and the words he uses, he seems like a very athletic guy. Whenever he talks about our journey in the kingdom, he sometimes talks about it as a run or a race that is run. He uses that language a number of times. He uses it in Romans. He uses it in Galatians and Ephesians. In 1 Corinthians, and he describes our life in the kingdom as a race. Now, it's understandable why he describes life in the kingdom like a race. It's something we all get, right? People, I mean, we get races, whether we live in the first century or the 21st century. People who run races and they're serious about it, they run it to win. People who run marathons, they run to finish. I see why Paul uses this analogy, because the same is true regarding our spiritual race. We run our spiritual race to win. We run our spiritual marathon to finish. Whether we know it or not, we want to win this race. It's important. And that's what we're going to talk about in this lesson. We're going to talk about winning the race. I guess that could be the title. I'm not using PowerPoint, so that would be the title. We're going to talk about winning the race tonight. And I mentioned earlier, Paul talks about this race that is run, and he talks about it in a number of his letters. But we're going to focus on one. So go ahead and open up your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to start reading from verse 24. And our Bible study tonight is just going to hover around this passage. So go ahead and put your bookmark there, because we'll be back in this passage frequently. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might win." Paul here says people who run races run to win the prize. Well, that's why we run our spiritual race. We run to win the prize. Now, you can only take this analogy so far. Let me explain what I don't think Paul is saying here. I don't think Paul is saying that there's only going to be one person who wins the prize. I don't think Paul is saying that there's only going to be one person who gets to spend an eternity with God. That's not what he's saying at all. Paul is saying that our goal needs to be the prize. Our goal needs to be an eternity with God. So in this lesson, we're going to look at what we need to do in order to win the race. So let's go ahead and jump into the lesson. What do we need to do in order to win the race? Let's look back at verse 24 again, please. It says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might win." Well, if we're going to win the race, number one, we need to run like winners. That's what Paul says at the end of verse 24, right? Run in such a way that you may win. Now, again, Paul isn't saying that we have to come in first place or anything like that. Paul is saying we need to run like winners. We need to do our best. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, this may seem obvious, but I feel like sometimes we might miss this. For instance, have you ever known someone who did just enough to get by? And I think about whenever I was back in school, high school, and college. You know, I know people who in school did just enough to get by. They just kind of settled doing the bare minimum. They didn't want to work hard. And these were intelligent people, right? People who, if they wanted to, could make all A's. People who, if they wanted to, if they put in the hard work, could do very well. But they just wanted to do the bare minimum. They didn't want to work hard. They wanted to take the easy street. They wanted to slide in a tub of butter. I don't know. That's a weird analogy. I heard a preacher use that once, and I was like, I'm going to have to use that in one lesson. Sliding in a tub of butter. It's easy. They don't want to do the hard work. They just want to do the bare minimum. I'm not a school teacher, but I assume that most school teachers would rather the student who works hard for the B over the student who settles for the B. Well, as Christians, there's no just getting by for us. As Christians, there's no just settling for the bare minimum. Let me give you a couple of reasons why. First of all, we can't just settle for the bare minimum because Jesus deserves better than that. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start reading verse 3. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." You see, Jesus, he humbled himself for us. He emptied himself for us. What if Jesus had that attitude that we like to have sometimes, the attitude that I like to have sometimes, where we just want to slide by? Just want to get by with the bare minimum. What if Jesus had that attitude? We wouldn't be sitting here tonight where we are, having a hope of heaven. Instead, Jesus gave his all. He emptied himself for us. You see, we can't have this attitude where we say, well, I'm just going to try and slide by, because Jesus deserves better than that. But also, because God wants us to do our best. God doesn't expect us to shatter world records. He wants us to do our best. And if we do our best, then we're going to win the prize. You know, sometimes we look at other people and we say something like, you know, I'll never be as good as that person. You know, maybe I look at Brent and I say, you know, I'm never going to be as good as Brent. He studies his Bible regularly. He got a great family life. I'm sure his house is always clean. Right? I'm never going to meet that standard. Or maybe we say, you know, I'm never going to be like Jeff. He's such a smart guy. I bet he's just spiritually where it's supposed to be, perfect. We can't have that attitude. That attitude is toxic. And to be honest, it causes people to leave the Lord. They don't think they're good enough. You know, God doesn't expect Reuben, God doesn't expect me to do Brent's best. God doesn't expect me to do Jeff's best. God expects me to do my best. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that God doesn't have a standard for all of us that we're all expected to meet. But if we do our best at trying to meet that standard, then we will win the prize. Let me explain what I'm saying. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 10 this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Big picture here, Paul is saying, if you do your best, you're going to make it. Because God's not going to tempt you beyond what you are able. See, we can't have this attitude that says, I'm just going to skate by. Because Jesus deserves more than that, too, because God expects us to do our best. And three, because we have an influence on other people. You know, other people can tell if we're just sort of skating along. Other people can tell if we're not giving it our all, if we're just sort of doing the bare minimum. More importantly, our kids can see that too. Our kids can tell if we're just settling for the B. Our kids see if we miss services to watch the game or for the Super Bowl. Our kids see that. We have an influence on others. And that's why we can't be like the kid who settles for the B. If we're going to win the race, then we must run like winners. We must do our best. Now, there's a violinist named Benno Rubinoff, and he kept a pretty tight schedule as far as practicing violin. You know, he was said to practice whenever he wasn't on tour. He was said to have practiced 8 hours a day. And whenever he was on tour, he practiced in between concerts. And eventually someone asked him why he practiced so much. And this is what he said. He said, well, I strive for perfection. I doubt if my audience would know the difference if I lightened up on rehearsals, but I would. Music is my life. Music is in my heart. I must always give my best. See, this guy gets it. Well, is our life revolved around God? Is God our life? Is God in our heart, in our minds? We must give him our best. We must run like winners. So if we're going to win the race, well, we've got to run like winners. That's number one. Number two, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read verse 25 this time. Paul writes, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. If we want to win the race, yes, we must run like winners, but we also must understand our purpose. That's number two. If we're going to win the race, we must understand our purpose. The FBI went into a town and they were looking for a sharpshooter. They were looking for a sniper. And they were kind of amazed whenever they get to the town, there are bullseyes or targets all over. And in the exact center of the bullseye was the bullet, was the impact of the bullet. And eventually they catch up with this guy. And they, you know, they're asking him, hey, how'd you get so accurate and so consistent, you know, shooting? You know, how are you doing that? What techniques are you using? And he said, well, it's simple. And I shot first and then drew the bullseye. All right? Simple. That's pretty much the opposite of what Paul is saying here. Let's read it again. He says in verse 26, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. You see, Paul's saying here that he has purpose. Well, we must have purpose also. And that's just true in general. If we're working at our daily job, we've got to understand our purpose. If we don't, we're not going to do well. If someone is building a business, they must understand and have a purpose. I mean, they call it a mission statement, right? Or that business isn't going to do well. When kids go to college, they've got to have a purpose. They've got to understand their purpose. They declare a major. You know, how many kids go to college and just don't know what they're doing? They're just taking random classes. That doesn't work out. You don't progress forward that way. If we're going to win the race, then we must have a purpose. And that's true of us as the people of God also. We must have a purpose because our goal is important, right? What does Paul say in verse 25? He says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Paul is saying the people who compete in these games, who run in the Olympics, they do these things to receive a prize, but that prize is going to fade away. What is our goal? What is our purpose? It's imperishable. It is important. If we miss out on our purpose, on our goal, then we have nothing. And let me just say, there are a lot of things that go on, that happen in our lives. And sometimes those things can sort of get in the way, right? Sometimes those things can overshadow or cloud our true purpose. But we can't let that happen. Let me tell you another story. This happened on July 4th, 1952. And on July 4th in 1952, the California coast was just shrouded in fog. You can't see very far at all. And about 21 miles to the west of the California coast is Catalina Island. There's a woman, her name is Florence Chadwick, and she wanted to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. She wanted to be the first woman to swim that distance. She'd already been the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. So she wanted to do this. And on that morning, it was foggy, can't see very far, and it was cold. So she starts out swimming. It's cold, it's foggy, and 15 hours later, she just can't take it anymore. It's not that she's fatigued, it's the cold is messing with her body. And she can't take it anymore. So there are boats riding along beside her. The boats are there, obviously, if she wants to get out and to scare the sharks away. I wouldn't have done it once I heard about sharks. But she's doing it. But she tells her mom, who is also her coach, she tells her mom on the boat, she's like, look, I want to get out. And mom says, you're almost there, just keep going. So she goes for another little while, but she's like, no, I can't take it anymore. I need to get out. Well, whenever she gets out and she gives up, she finds out that she was a half mile away from the California shore. And this is what she says sort of in response to that. She says, I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the shore, I might have made it. You see, the fog obscured her goal. The fog overshadowed her goal. We need to make sure that this doesn't happen to us. We can't allow the worries of this world and all the things to overshadow our true purpose. If we're going to win the race, then we must have purpose. That's number two, but that's not all. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 25 again. Says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. If we're going to win the race, number one, we've got to run like winners. We have to be a winner. We have to do our best. Number two, we have to understand our purpose. But number three, we've got to practice discipline. And I don't need to tell you guys that a person who runs a marathon didn't wake up that Saturday morning at 4 o'clock and was like, you know what, I think I'm going to run a marathon today. That didn't happen, right? Right? They put in the work, they trained, running daily for that. They discipline their body. I know it's true. My dad used to run marathons. When he was a little younger, he'd run the full marathons. And every morning, he'd be up before everybody else in the house, and he'd run a short distance before work. Every Saturday morning, he'd be up before everyone else, and he'd run long distance. He wouldn't even get back till about noon. He put in the work. He trained because he knew what was coming. You see, he practiced discipline for the marathon, for the run. You know, the runners who don't practice discipline, let's just be honest, they don't do as well in the run as those who do. Well, similarly, we as Christians must practice discipline. If we're going to win our race, if we're going to finish our marathon, we need to discipline our bodies. And that means we, simply put, that means we need to make priorities. Some things we need to forget about, some things we need to remember. And that's not always going to be easy, right? It's going to be difficult sometimes. I got one more story for you. I'm full of stories today. I got one more story. There's a guy named Lord Joseph Duveen, and he was the American head of an art firm. And in 1915, he was going to send one of his experts, one of his art experts, a young guy, to England to examine ancient pottery. So he booked passage on a ship called the Lusitania. And after he booked passage, the Germans issued sort of a notice saying the Lusitania might be hit with a torpedo. So he decided to, Mr. Duveen decided it'd be best to just cancel the trip. So he tells his young expert, he's like, look, I'm just going to cancel the trip. I don't want anything to happen to you. But the young guy said, no, it's fine. Look, I heard about the torpedo thing, and I've been training. I've been hardening my body. He said, every day, I'd fill up my bathtub full of ice water, because where they were traveling, the water was very chilly. He said, I'd fill up my tub full of ice water, and I'd sit in it. He said, on the first day, I probably could only last a couple of minutes, but now I can stay in the tub for a couple of hours, right? He trained, he disciplined, he trained his body. Now, that probably couldn't have been easy. I wouldn't have done it. And a tub full of ice-cold water, I don't like the cold. That wouldn't have been for me. But that's what he did. Well, he set out on the Lusitania, and the ship did get torpedoed. Well, it took 5 hours for them to find it. Well, that young expert was in the water for 5 hours, and they found him in good conditions. See, he disciplined his body because of what might happen, and that was what he needed to do. That's what we need to do also. So maybe I'm get home from work late one night and I'm tired and I'm just ready to go to sleep. I don't want to do anything. And then I remember, I forgot to pray with the kids. What am I going to do? Am I going to get the extra few minutes of sleep? Or am I going to show my kids that prayer is important? Or maybe it's been a long week at work and the weekend's here, and I just kind of want to veg out, watch Netflix, whatever's on Netflix. I just want to watch it, binge watch. You know how people do Netflix. And the day goes on, and I realize, man, I haven't studied the Bible with my family today. What am I going to do? Am I going to watch the next episode on Netflix? Or am I going to study the scriptures with my family and lead them in the right direction? Now, the list really could go on, but you guys get the point. We've got to have the right priorities. We must discipline our bodies if we are going to make it. If we're going to win the race, we've got to discipline our bodies. You know, some people may ask, why are some of these guys just so great? Why are they just so good at what they do? You know, why is LeBron James just so good at basketball? Someone may ask, man, why is Usain Bolt just so fast? Why is he so good? Can I read you part of a poem by a man named Henry Wadsworth Longfellow? In this poem, he says, the heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. They were working hard while everyone else was sleeping, is what he's saying. And that's true. Usain Bolt didn't get fast overnight. He worked and trained. LeBron James didn't get good at basketball overnight. He worked and he trained at it. Well, if I'm going to win this race, then number one, I need to be a winner. I need to run like a winner. I need to do my best. Number two, I need to understand my purpose. Number three, I need to have discipline. The Apostle Paul, he might have been a very athletic person. He might have run plenty of races in his life, but let me tell you that he understood something. He understood the race that was truly important. He understood the prize that was truly important. He understood that his prize was an eternity with God in heaven. And that's our prize too. So let me just ask, are you running for it? Maybe there's someone here tonight who's stopped running. Hopefully I've encouraged you to start running again, because our prize is what's important. If we miss an eternity with the Lord, then we've just missed everything. So tonight, can I encourage you to start running again? Or maybe there's someone here tonight who hasn't started the race yet. I'm just going to say what I said in the last lesson. The last lesson I preached was called Losing the Race. Tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about winning the race. If you haven't started your race yet, what's stopping you? I encourage you to start running today, entering through the narrow gate, becoming a child of God. Because let's just be honest, being a child of God is amazing. You know, maybe one of us makes it to the Olympics one day and we win all these great prizes. Paul says all that stuff is going to fade away. The true prize is the spiritual prize in heaven. Maybe you stopped running and you want to start running again, or maybe you haven't even started running and you want to become a child of God today. Whatever you need, you can come now as we stand and as we sing.